get away from people. And that's just not really available for a lot of folks.
Yeah, the reason I asked the question, I moved here from Minnesota once. I had the pleasure of spending a couple of days in the Boundary Waters Canoe area in the Finger Lakes between Canada and Minnesota, and it's a remote area where they don't allow motorized vehicle traffic. And so at night, at dusk, at dawn and at dusk, you could hear a very specific loop that had certain types of insects and birds and even some mammals, and they would all take their place like a rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first time I noticed that nature can have a rhythm that's actually a loop that repeats itself. And it was awesome to be able to experience that. And I was wondering if you knew of, like, what would be the some of the quietest places that you have been in the region?
For me, I haven't actually been to that many that are that quiet. I'm sort of depending on the folks that get out more often than I do to kind of let me know. And the thing with that, too, is a lot of people are very hesitant to tell you the spaces that they do know that are quiet because they don't want a bunch of people to go look for them. Because if everybody goes looking for the quiet spot, then the quiet spot's no longer quiet. So that's kind of the paradox of this whole soundscape thing where it's like we want people to know it's out there. We want people to be able to experience it because it's beautiful. But if anybody hikes out there trying to do that, it could be destroyed. You know, it's one of those things where our presence could literally and is elsewhere, just destroying these soundscapes. And they're so fragile and they're so ephemeral and they're time-based, and, you know, every beach sounds different because of the different types of stones that are on the beach. You know, Bernie Krause talks about this a lot, that it really just depends on the moment in time and the place that you're at and what also happens to be there with you.
That's really fascinating stuff, because what I'm realizing as I listen to you talk is that sound is a universe in and of itself, you know, and you're really talking about energy and different types of vibrations. So I imagine there are lots of sounds that are too quiet for us to pick up with our ears.
Mm-hmm.
There are probably sounds that might be at such loud frequencies that they would, like, destroy matter.
Yeah.
And different ends of that spectrum from high to low. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
A little bit. You know, again, I am by no means an expert. I am not an acoustic ecologist nor a bioacoustician. I'm just lucky enough to have geeked out and talked to a few of them over the years. So there are many other books or people you can talk to that know more about this than I do. But, you know, basically the human realm of hearing is 20 hertz to 20 kilohertz. A lot of animals and bugs can hear way above and way below that. So, for instance, you know, your common homing pigeon, the homing pigeon can hear things down to 0.5 hertz, which is really, really, really low. And a lot of times it's called infrasound for us. There's nothing different about the sound wave. It's just too low for us to perceive, so we call it infrasound. And those, that's actually how they migrate. That's how they know where to go. They'll fly up like mountains and valleys, and they'll listen to the sound waves, kind of like the waves crashing on the shore will then transfer to the land, which will then resonate off the mountains. So a pigeon that's in the Rockies can hear the Atlantic Ocean.
Whoa.
It's pretty cool.
That is really cool. So that might have something to do. Is that how some fish migrate as well?
They're still studying it because, like, the way that sound travels underwater, you know, everything's slightly different, and animals have all kind of evolved different ways of hearing these things and processing these things. But there is some evidence that's, you know, whales, like bowhead whales, might be using sound to navigate under the ice.
Man, that's fascinating stuff. And I'm going to ask you maybe one more question. One or two more questions just based on curiosity, because the more I listen to you, then the more questions I have. And
mm-hmm.
I understand that you don't consider yourself like an expert as far as the academics in the field, but you know more than me about it. Someone was talking to me recently about how earbuds actually erode the tiny bones in your ears that help you hear. And that was really fascinating, because then I was able to think about sound like water mm-hmm. that erodes rocks, you know, mm-hmm. and shapes them in different ways. What can you tell us about hearing and the health of our hearing based on ambient sound and sound pollution?
It's a really good question, and it's something that a lot of audiologists are interested in. And frankly, I have some you know, personal interest in the field because I'm losing my hearing. So, you know, I used to do a lot of monitor work in a basement club, and even in college, you know, I wanted to do a baseline because I felt like things were happening. I was starting to get tinnitus, and the audiologist looked at me and she's like, everything between 250 hertz and like 7 kilohertz, you're starting to get hearing loss in, which is very rare for somebody in their early 20s. And I kind of just started laughing because if you know anything about sound frequencies for rock bands, 250 hertz is basically every amplifier for an electric guitar or bass, like everything kind of sits in that area. And 7 kilohertz is cymbal shimmer. So I was just getting, you know, blasted in that acoustic environment, and very promptly, you know, got a good pair of earplugs that you could hear through still. So that being said, you know, yeah, your hearing is fragile, and, you know, basically anything over 100 decibels or 105 decibels, I don't know the exact figure, so forgive me if I'm quoting this wrong, but I think it's like 5 to 10 minutes before you start getting damage. And when your hearing is damaged, basically what happens inside your inner ear, there's these little cilia, these little kind of cell hairs. And when they break, they don't grow back. So they break when you get enough of like either a repetitive, you know, air blast, like if the wave is so strong that the air basically just hits your eardrum and it can break hairs inside your cochlea, inside your inner ear. And then if that happens, you know, again, it just doesn't grow back. So once that happens, that's when you start getting tinnitus because your brain is looking for that frequency and it's not finding it, but the nerve is still on. So you start getting like a feedback hum basically inside your ear.
Hey, I bet to a lot of the people listening, you just answered a question that they're really curious about, which is where does tinnitus come from? I've never known, and I always get curious about it when I experience that sensation in my own hearing, and I go, I'm going to Google that and see where it comes from, and then I always forget. So thank you. And so you're an artist in residency here at KBOO. Can you tell us how KBOO supports your work? What's your interaction with the station like, and how does that take shape?
It's been a lot of fun. You know, basically, I kind of came in with this idea in part from talking to other frustrated radio producers that work for some of, you know, the bigger stations or bigger, losing the word, trying not to out certain stations.
We all know what you mean.
But they're kind of frustrated because they have all of this really cool, you know, recordings or, you know, really fascinating, more artistic work, but there's just not a venue for it. The realities of the media landscape, you know, in the U.S. and elsewhere, everything is getting faster, everything's speeding up, the sound bite is getting shorter and shorter and shorter, and you're trying to fit more and more content, you know, into a shorter time frame. And it just gets to the point where you can't actually have a breath or a real conversation or even the time for a complete thought. So there's these folks that just have years of backlog work that they have no place to show it. They have no place for people to hear it. So I was listening to them kind of talk about that, you know, within their industry circles. And I was like, you know, we have this radio station. I have been geeking out with various people for close to a decade now that have all of these personal archives that just, again, you know, it's basically unheard tape. It's these people sitting on top of hours and hours worth of the world and other artistic pieces. And I have a tendency in my creative field to facilitate other people's art. So I was like, why not use my first artist residency to showcase the work that all of these people are doing? Because I know production and I know, you know, kind of how to use a platform. So for me, wow. It's been more about, you know, honing some of the curatorial skills that I've sort of observed from other people over the years with other work that I do, because I work a lot of folk and traditional music festivals and that kind of thing. So it's pulling together a lot of different threads of my life for the past few years, which has been a lot of fun. And the conversations that we've had here at the station, they're just like, oh, you're doing what we've wanted to do for years. and we just, you know, we aren't allowed to, or we're a little nervous to, or we're not sure, because there's more of a risk. You know, it's like you don't want to alienate people. You don't want your listeners to just kind of like tune out and go someplace else. There's a lot of competition in media for listenership. So it's kind of a fun little thing where we're all kind of sitting here with a giant science experiment being like, what's going to happen? You know, are people actually going to respond to this? Are they going to like this? You know, is this useful? Is somebody going to find this meditative or healing or interesting, or launch them into, you know, some sort of community collaboration? You know, we're talking about trying to get some people from like BARC and other wilderness advocacy organizations together with field recordists that are interested in helping them do these wilderness surveys, so that, you know, they have the documentation available as they're, you know, trying to coordinate their efforts surrounding some of these timber sales, you know, because a lot of times people will tell them like, oh, those animals don't exist there. And if you can't see it, what can you say? But if you have a microphone out there recording for hours, you can come back and be like, actually, we have scientists that can say this is exactly a spotted owl. And yes, it's here, you know, because it's in the soundscape. So there's a lot of like really cool things where people with a field recorder can go out and help these advocacy efforts. So it's we're just trying to connect some threads, really. And it's been a lot of fun to do that.
Wow, I'm really impressed. That's all exciting, interesting work that you're doing. Where can our listeners hear more about what you're doing outside of here on News from the Boo?
We've got the Threshold Shift program page up at kboo.fm, and that you'll kind of find additional content. The show airs Fridays at 10, from 10 to 10:15. And then we have another long form episode coming up from 12 a.m. to 3 a.m. on the 18th, Wednesday the 18th, where we'll kind of maybe do a little bit more live broadcast. We're still sort of seeing how we want to structure that one, have a little more fun with it. But as for that, you know, this project runs till the end of October. We'll have it archived on the station website for a while, and then we're kind of figuring out next steps from there, because, you know, a lot of this really just does exist within this format right now. You know, a lot of the soundscapes that I'm getting aren't on CDs or available.
Thank you so much. Nikki Martin, artist in residency here at KBOO Portland. KBOO.fm. Thank you for listening to News from the Boo. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Thank Bye-bye. You.
And you are listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Dead Moon Night, Thursday, October 5th at 6 p.m. at the outdoor portico of Portland City Hall. Dead Moon Night is a celebration of the Portland band Dead Moon. An official proclamation declaring that day as Dead Moon Night will be read along with surprise musical guests, refreshments, and an exhibit about Dead Moon. Again, that's Dead Moon Night, Thursday, October 5th at 6 p.m. at the outdoor portico of Portland City Hall, 1221 Southwest 4th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Thank you for your pause, for your like, for your click. Thank you for your love, for your care, for your kind.
We want to thank everyone who joined or renewed your membership during our fall membership drive here at KBOO. We came very close to our $105,000 goal. We were within $10,000 of it. If you have not donated, please do so. Go to the website kboo.fm/give. Thanks again for supporting the best radio station on earth, KBOO.
Thank you for your pause, for your like, for your click. Thank you for your love, for your care, for your kind.
This is KBOO Portland. The time is now 6 o'clock. You're listening to Kitchen Table Conversations.
Mm-hmm. heavy on my mind and heavy on my chest lately, so. Look at the world around us, man, it's crashing and it's burning. Got me praying to the Lord for better days and deep discernment. I'm not nosy, I'm observant. I acknowledge I ain't perfect. Trying to turn the other cheek and trying to be the bigger person. But it's easier than said, it's all reflecting in my head. No more dwelling on the past and being worried about what's next. It's like I'm on my last breath and with a noose around my neck. And it's day and age to reach this age, it really is a blessing. Oppression and depression got me stressing with this lesson. Is God trying to tell me something? If he is, then what's the message? I'm trying to get this money for my brother who's a college kid. Crying to myself like thank the Lord God, he really did it. Leading by example wasn't hard, and plus I dated women. Taught them all I know, and 2 years later, I'm an auntie figure. Now what's the difference if I'm sinning in this contradiction? Trying to right my wrongs, but I go left and miss the whole picture. Hazy vision, cause I'm blazing, hanging in the trenches. Praying that I make it, yes, still living in the same conditions. That's far-fetching, double-minded, having double standard. Double temptation in my face, my kryptonite is damaged. They say, if you knew better, you would do better. But I know I'm still living up and do whatever. My daddy's gone and my mama, she's my backbone. Like every time I fall off, I always go back home.
Hello, hello, hello. How are we today? This is Mary Postlewaite, and you're listening to Kitchen Table Conversations on KBOO 90.7 FM. So it's been a while since I've been on the air. I wasn't here last month. And for those of you who listen, I apologize. I was sick and in the process of moving. So... Today, I actually had a guest coming, but she can't come now, so I have no guest, so please be patient with me because I was really expecting her to be here and she wasn't here. But anyway, before I get this show started today, I want to take just a small, maybe 15-second timeout and just be a little bit silent for all the disasters and catastrophes that are going on.